That's brilliant, Tim. He's taught me a few words today. Just proves I'm not educated, doesn't it? But I don't know about you, but when I was told Tim was looking at the Book of Ruth, the role of the MC, I believe, is to study it as well so that you're prepared in case Tim decides not to turn up. When I looked at the Book of Ruth, what my first thought or response was, it's a very nice story. But it's a strange one, isn't it? Because God isn't mentioned about doing anything directly in it. There's no exciting things going on, you know, there's sort of no murders or anything like that. It's just a family story. But out of it, as Tim said clearly, God is at work. And is that just simple way? Yeah, it just happened to be harvest time. Boaz just happened to turn up at that moment. There's all these things that are coming out, which is God at work. One of the things, if I was speaking on it, is a simple fact that if you read the first, is it six verses, which sets the scene, after 10 years, it's an absolute tragedy. Yeah, this woman, her whole family, except for the two daughters-in-law, have died. She has got nothing, no prospects, no hope. And yet, God was at work. And, yeah, I just wonder how we would respond to that simple situation. I know things go wrong at home. Something simple goes wrong at home. It can turn into a real big crisis. But God is at work. And thanks so much for that, Tim. It is absolutely brilliant. We're going to have a short break. Part of it is going to be taken up with, is it a video clip for you to look at? Let me just mention our next gathering. Some of you may be looking forward to David doing Revelation. We've got bad news for you. David won't be doing it next time. So instead you've got me. I believe Graham's going to be the MC because he can keep me in order and nobody else can. And I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet. But in a month's time, I'll be standing here. And if I'm still trying to decide, we've got problems. But I'm sure by the end of next week, I know exactly what I'm doing. But I'm going to hand over for this little video clip, and then we'll come back for a time of questions.
Just to say that as soon as Bernie knows and tells me, I'll put it on the website. That's what we'll be doing next time. David will be doing Revelation, but it'll be January. That's mainly so that Peter Guinness can be here and be emceeing for it. David's keen that we have Peter's depth of knowledge to kind of back up. Yes, David, what do you want to say? Right. I'm sure it's not that bad, David, yet. David, just like prayer in his preparation for it. It's a really real biggie, isn't it? And I think David's going to bring a real fresh perspective on it and deal with a lot of misunderstanding on Revelation. That's why he wants to get it right and have the time and everything. Do we have a video? We have, I think.
Hey, I was just going to say, seeing that video, Feeding the 5,000, Boaz, one of the things he did was he invited Ruth to stay and eat. So he's already started. It's a good biblical example. But if some of the things I love about that book is simple things like a number of times throughout that book you see people blessing each other. And yeah, do we do it in church? If I said to you, has anybody come up to you and prayed a prayer of blessing over you individually today, this week, this month, this year? I just wonder how many hands would go up. But it makes a difference. It's really exciting when you read it, the blessings over people. But you don't want to listen to me doing a second sermon, so we'll start off with questions, I guess.
One, two, three, yeah.
Right, we have a sound now. Any questions? Oh.
Tim, you mentioned that one of the drivers in the story is that other people see the loving kindness of an individual and then give glory to God. And that is really the default ideal. I guess a problem exists, certainly in our culture, that when you show loving kindness to people, people don't give glory to God. They just think you're a nice sort of person. And even if you say or point to God and say it's only through him that this happens, that is like almost water off a duck's back. It doesn't get heard. And they, you get a reputation of being a nice person. Do you have any idea how that can be counteracted at all in any way?
I understand exactly what you're saying and what you're observing, and I agree with you. And I don't have any wisdom any more than anybody else does on that, except consistency and living a consistent life. And I guess, you know, you can verbalize it, but you can also live it. And people over time can see the genuineness through your life, perhaps. And that's, I think, sometimes as powerful as the words that you say. Yeah.
Sorry, Graham, David beat you to it.
Just to say, to add to that comment, lots of people come to know God not because they heard a brilliant sermon, not because they heard a wonderful teaching, but because over a long period, the person who led them to Christ loved them and cared for them and respected them and helped them, and that can take forever to happen. So there's no quick fix. My question about Ruth is, what do you think is the most important thing anyone can take away from reading this book? Just to say that nowadays, the book of Ruth is read in the Jewish celebration of Pentecost, where you have to stuff your face with ice cream and cheesecake, and you have to study the book of Ruth all night.
Thanks, Doug. Do you want to add anything, Graham?
David asked
the question, didn't he? I missed the question.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to a certain extent it can be different things for different people, but just thinking back over the whole flow of story and narrative there, I guess the clincher for me would be the fact that Ruth made God her refuge. She abandoned herself to God completely. And I think, you know, that was the essential difference between her and Orpah. And so much of the book flows out of that decision to make God her refuge. So whether you want to call that a salvation experience or more of a sanctification experience or a mixture of the two, I guess that's up for debate. But yeah, she abandoned herself to God, and so much flowed from that, it seems to me.
I think one of the amazing things what Tim's just said is that if you think what Naomi was saying about God in the first chapter, as she was saying that she'd been cursed and going through this rough time, and yet Ruth comes through it wanting to know that God and live with that God.
Sorry, I was just going to follow on from what Graham said. I think even if people who you show loving kindness to may not give God the glory, I think he gets the glory anyway. It's not just that person involved. You know, there's a whole, there's a heavenly host who know what's going on, and God gets the glory anyway. And we should give God the glory at all times. On the other point we're saying, I think the incredible thing about Ruth is that she continually sacrifices her own, what you'd, in human terms anyway, would consider to be the best for her. She's not being selfish in any way. She's not showing this tendency that we certainly have in our society that it's all about me. It was all about Naomi, and she was totally committed to her. And perhaps also she was committed to her dead husband by supporting Naomi, as her husband would have done, and by being prepared to marry an old man, because there's a good reason why Boaz calls her daughter, because there's a massive age difference. And she could have gone and found someone more her own age or someone that she liked more. Her life is an example of sacrifice, and it just shows, you know, as Tim was saying, how God can use us when we are prepared to show sacrifice and responsibility for the greater good, and not just seek our own way and accept that circumstances can be really bad, and yet God has a plan.
Right, the millions of hands up here.
Well, what was said tonight about if Ruth had not gone back with Boaz, then Jesus would not have come, seems a parallel with something which I said last week, which I'll repeat again. And that is, if Jesus does not return to this world, then there won't be anybody left alive on this planet at all. And, you know, and it's quite easy to understand today with today's nuclear weaponry, which can wipe this world out many times over, and be taken into account of all the enemies that the Lord, country Israel has around her. And it is to Israel Jesus has to return, and to his own people. And this is one reason why we must pray for Israel. Israel must not be exterminated.
Was your hand up?
Yeah. I think in response to David's question, if there was one thing we're going to take away tonight, I think for me personally, I think what struck me was the usual and unusual that you made reference to, that it's okay to be usual, it's okay to be ordinary. However, there will be times that God will, this is how I perceived it, that there will be times when God will place a demand on unusual from us, or the extraordinary from us, or the uncommon things from us. And when we do honor him, you know, with our lives or with us, with everything that we've got, which is what she did, that when we do that, God in return, he honors that. And I guess if not for what she did, we wouldn't have Jesus Christ today, and we wouldn't even be here today. So because of her unusual, her uncommonness, and her extraordinary decision, God did something extraordinary through her lineage. you know, and she's noted for it, you know, in the Bible. So sometimes God will place a demand, and it's a question whether or not, you know, but then if we don't do it, it's okay. But if we do it, God does honor it in a special way.
Now, when Tim was talking earlier about the impact we have on people, one of the things that came to my mind was something that happened to my wife. And donkey's years ago, we were doing this evangelism course, and we had to go out, knock on people's doors, and share the gospel with them. And it wasn't quite that simple, but that was the gist of it. And we all went out in teams and did this over a number of months. And it is a training course. Some years later, this woman met my wife. And she said, "Do you realise, if you hadn't knocked on my door, my life would be totally different." And so they got in a discussion. And this woman turned around and said that because you knocked on my door and shared Jesus with me, I'm now training to become an Anglican vicar. And Graham's laughing because he knows that's quite disastrous. But the thing is that we don't know what's going to happen to the people we speak to, the people we share some sort of kindness with. We haven't got a clue. But out of our kindness, things can happen, and some very, very amazing things can happen. Any more questions?
If I can just add a rider to what you said, Bernie. At one point in my life, I mentored readers in training, and I used to have to evaluate their sermons. Now, I'm not a world-renowned preacher myself, so I found it very difficult. And I could listen and evaluate on the technical bits of what they should or shouldn't have done. But I said, how can one ever evaluate a sermon, because it may be that somebody even misheard it, and God used that and took that person on to do great things for him several years later. And could I ever say that that was a bad sermon? And that's what the problem, the dilemma.
And it's the fact that God speaks to us all differently, so that what Tim said tonight might be sort of stirring somebody up to go back and pick up the book of Ruth, read it, and suddenly their life changes.
I'd just like to pick up a little bit that Tim said and has been mentioned before, the idea that if Ruth didn't do what she did, then maybe we wouldn't have had Jesus. I think God had a plan, and that would have happened whatever. But by doing what Ruth did, she became part of God's plan. She wasn't just another person. She became an essential part of God's plan. God had a plan, and we would have had Jesus anyway. But Ruth would have missed out on being part of what God was doing. And I guess that's what we need to be doing, is to make sure that we're part of what God's plan is. By being prepared and being ready to do what God would want us to do. Even if we don't have a clear leading, we should be ready and open. And show this. Hesed. Is it Hesed? Yeah.
Just to add that. We've just been talking about doing the ordinary and doing the extraordinary thing. I mean, if it hadn't been for Ruth to go with Naomi, I think Naomi might well have starved, because she had no husband to provide for her. She had no family anymore. There was a very good chance she would have gone hungry. And when Boaz shows Hesed to Ruth, he actually does something more than just say, just be kind to her. He doesn't just say, oh, sure, you can glean in my field, you can follow everyone else and pick up the corn. He actually went up to his workers and said, I want you to, when she's not looking, I want you to drop sheaves of grain for her to find. I want you to actually go, whoops, oh, I dropped something, oh, never mind, and walk off. I mean, that is actually, he is sacrificing something that belongs to him. He's making himself poorer to help these people. And how often in society are we told, well, you know, you can be nice to people, but if it means you have to give up something, no way, I'm not doing that. It's doing the extraordinary again. And that's actually something I think we sometimes miss when we read the book of Ruth.
And if you look at the character of Boaz, he's incredibly generous in all that he does, protects her, tells his workers to leave her alone. She's vulnerable, and is an amazing character. And you sort of sit down. If he was my boss at work, I would think that I would have had the most amazing boss you could ever have. He was so good to her. Go back and read it. Read it. It's four chapters full of amazing things. Have we run out of questions? Oh, hey.
Yeah, I think it's the most amazing book in the Bible. It's just so... it's something that you wouldn't have expected, you know, from the guttermost to the uttermost is a phrase you sometimes was trotted out, and something that's completely way out happens to be part of God's plan. And I think it's often said that, you know, as you read through the genealogies, it's not all the Jews, and it's some of these people. Ruth is mentioned, and the harlot is mentioned. Yeah, right. And, you know, God does amazing things in quite unexpected ways, and he's still doing those things. And when we give our lives to him, things happen. And it's often said, you know, there are no coincidences, there are God instances. And they happen, you know, because we've given our lives to the Lord, and things do happen that wouldn't normally happen. Because God's at work by his grace and his mercy. And it's just such a picture of that, I think, you know, for our own lives. And I think it's a wonderful, amazing, amazing story. Not story, it's real, you know, it happened. Hallelujah, you know, and it's there, evidence down in God's word.
Oh, we've got another one.
You don't often hear me speak. One thing that struck me in chapter 2, round about verse 15, it's a natural human reaction, I think, for us not to be the recipient of charity. Charity shown to us is sometimes actually quite difficult to accept. How often have we heard the phrase, I don't want their charity? I think Boaz here is being, in his kindness, is not actually showing her direct charity. He says, rather pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. So Ruth will not actually realize that she's been on the receiving end of this charitable act by Boaz. She will just think, oh, this is good. Oh, I'm quite fortunate today. And Ruth will feel blessed by getting more than she expected. So what I'm saying is that Boaz is being charitable to her without Ruth realizing that he's been charitable to her. And I think he's showing great astuteness in that. Okay.
Thanks, sir. That's great observation there. And this is, I guess, the value of our meetings here, that we can share together and learn things that otherwise, like if Tim hadn't said he was doing Ruth, I would still be a bit thick as far as Ruth's concerned. It makes us study. It makes us think about Scripture. And, you know, that's one of the key things to maturing as a Christian. And I know now and then you sort of say, well, there's not many people here tonight. Could anybody else have gained by this? Well, I'm sure hundreds and thousands could gain from what we've done tonight. But you're the blessed ones by being here. And I'm sure you feel that. I'm sure you've enjoyed listening to what Tim said and hearing the questions and answers. It is of real, real value what we've done tonight for God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for what we've heard tonight. Thank you, Father, for that example of real generosity of Boaz, of giving not just enough, but overflowing, giving more and more than expected. We thank you, Father, that he is very much like you, that you, Father, bless us above and beyond what we deserve and what we expect. We just thank you, Father, for his example to us.